Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. My guest is Jane Margeson, Communications Director for AARP Maine. Jane has several topics of interest, and today we're going to cover a few of them. We're going to discuss home improvement scams, very prevalent this time of year, some livable communities and communities that got awards to make their areas better for older adults, and a special award for community service. So be thinking about someone you know who continually makes a difference in the community. The deadline for the submission is pretty quick, so get a pencil and paper ready if you want to jot down the address to send your nomination. Hi, Jane. It's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me, Carol. I always enjoy being on Senior Talk. Thank you.
Well, we enjoy it too. Let's talk about home improvement scams. Every year it happens in the warmer months. So how does it work?
Well, you are absolutely right, Carol. This is the time of year. Actually, it's really year round that we hear about these types of scams. But in high season of the summer, that's a very popular time for what we call home repair or rent a creep scammers to come around. They may claim to be any number of things, plumbers, builders, roofers, masonry experts, you name it. And they often will show up just to help. As they say, they may claim that they have leftover materials from a different job and that they're very excited to give you a deal because they've got these extra materials. They also may say that they're coming by to give you a quote free inspection of something that they've already determined is a problem on your property. So it's just really important to know the facts before you agree to anything. One of the things that we like to mention is that in Maine, door-to-door home repair contractors must be licensed with OPOR, which is a government institution it's the Office of Professional and Occupational Regulation, and it's basically the licensing board for the state of Maine. And this is important because you just want to make sure that you know as a consumer that you have rights. The individuals you work with need to provide a written contract, which includes their license number, and they also need to provide a three-day rescission period, i.e. a time when you can actually change your mind and say, I don't really want to do this job anymore. And that is a three-day, what they call rescission period. And that too must be stated on the contract.
So when someone comes to the door, what if they don't want to do a contract? They don't want to do all that. They say, oh, it's a really small job. We don't need to bother with all of that. I can have this done in a day.
I wouldn't do business with them. You don't know who they are. They just showed up. It's still going to be your money, whether it takes them an hour or it takes them 10 days. And whether it's $100 or $1,000 or $10,000, that's still your money. And you don't want to be paying that money, potentially inviting a stranger into your home. There are all sorts of things that can go wrong. So if somebody says, I'm not going to give you a contract, or I don't have a license, or in any way will not provide that information to you, I would simply send them on their way. And frankly, I would also call the local police and let them know that this individual stopped by, this is their name, they refuse to give a contract and explain what's going on, because then the police can keep watch and help your neighbors stay safe from the scammer as well.
And you shouldn't pay cash, right? Even if they offer a discount for cash.
I mean, cash, you know, there's no way to track anything. No. And I know that door-to-door, some people aren't going to want to take a credit card. But again, you want to have something that you have that's in hand. And it's always good. This is one of our big things that we mentioned during our scam awareness program. Stop and verify. This individual will likely be putting a lot of pressure on you to make a quick decision and to have them get the job started right then and there because it's convenient for them. Well, you know, it's not convenient necessarily for you. And it's honestly, it's better to take their information. If you're interested in the job, that's fine, but you want to double check, who is this person? Is there a complaint against them? Check with the Better Business Bureau. Check with the Maine Bureau of Consumer Credit Protection. You really should do your homework as a consumer and not just immediately engage with this person.
Well, and we don't really, if someone does come to the door, you really have no guarantee that this work actually needs to be done. They could be lying. Not many people climb up on their roofs to see how things are looking up there.
That's exactly right. And chimneys and things that, you know, the layperson likely isn't going to know whether something's in terrible repair or not. And especially just sort of looking at something from down on the ground and looking right. at stories up. Yeah, you just want to take all the steps necessary to protect yourself. It's very important to do that. And, you know, what our friend at the Maine Office of Securities, Judy Shaw, always likes to say is there is no wrong door approach. Do your homework, check out this individual, but call someone, you know, call the police, call the Better Business Bureau, as I mentioned, or one of the other entities in the state, just to check them. There's nothing wrong with double checking and making sure that everything's on the up and up.
I think one of the hardest things is that nowadays reputable contractors are so busy. And so the temptation is if someone comes to the door and they say they're going to do this, even though there are red flags, the temptation may be, I'm just going to have them do it because I can't get my roofer or my plumber or my electrician for 6 months. So how do you respond to that?
Well, I know it can be difficult to find a decent referral. I would always start with your friends and your neighbors, people you know who you trust, who may have also needed a plumber or an electrician or somebody to do some work in their home. There are certainly ways to look at businesses online and look up their reputation, and you know, there's usually some kind of rating system involved, but that can also be rigged. That's certainly something that we have seen before. I've also gotten referrals from my local legislators because they're usually very connected within the community. So there are definitely ways that you can find reputable people, but it may take a little bit of time. And it's worth it, though. It's better to get somebody really good who you can count on and you can trust rather than to get something done quickly where you may not end up with the job being done at all. You may hand over your money and that's the last you see of them. So there are great risks involved in working with people you don't know or who didn't come to you through a reputable source.
And don't give all the money up front, correct?
Oh, that's absolutely right. Anyone who asks for all the money up front, that's a very questionable practice. I would consider that a strong red flag. Is there a reasonable amount to provide if they need to buy materials? Possibly, but again, you want to be sure that you're not handing, as you said, excellent point, Carol, you don't want to be handing all the money over up front because then honestly, they have no motivation to finish the job because they've already been paid.
They are going to take that money and run. When we come back, we have another topic of interest, and that's livable communities. AARP has given money to certain communities to make them more livable for older adults. So stay with us. When we come back, we'll talk about that. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. Before we get into the livable communities, Jane, there is a website people can go to get more information on fraud. I've been to it myself. It's extremely comprehensive, pretty impressive, actually. What's that website people can go to?
Yes, and not only is there a website, but there's a toll-free helpline. And these are highly trained individuals who can guide you through all the rules and regulations if you think you've been scammed or you have a question. So that telephone number is 1-877-908-3360.
Say it again.
And that's 1-877-908-3360. And then the website is aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. And everything on these sites are absolutely free. The phone call is free and it's available to anyone, whether or not they're an AARP member.
If someone did have someone come to the door and talk about home repair, can they just call that number before and talk to a live person before they make a decision? Is that another safety net?
Likely the operator there will then refer them to state agencies or local resources. But it's never wrong to call that toll-free number. They are a terrific resource and they are true experts in crime, fighting these crimes.
No wrong door, as our friend Judy Shaw
That's
says.
Right.
Okay, livable communities. This is pretty exciting. So 11 main organizations received an AARP grant as part of its nationwide program to make communities more livable. So the grantees implement like quick action projects. These aren't long and ongoing and involved. And tell me about what some of these grantees are doing.
Oh, it's so wonderful. I love this program because it really showcases such wonderful work that is going on here in the state of Maine. And we had some of the highest number of grantees of all the states in the country with 11, which is fantastic and shows you the commitment and the enthusiasm behind these projects. It's just wonderful. So to start with, Bangor Livable Communities, they received a grant because they're going to be addressing the safety and functionality of the Kandusky stream trail, which will be improved by widening the trail, installing ADA compliant benches and improving signage. Plus a structural assessment of one bridge will be conducted. So this will be a great benefit to the community when the project is complete.
It will be. I know that bridge and it's a little scary. I think that this would be a terrific thing. It's a beautiful area right along the stream. And so it's a wonderful place to take a nature hike. And I love that there are ADA compliant benches. So someone who has a cane or a wheelchair or just some device, a walker, can actually do this too. I think a lot of times we talk about walkable communities and sometimes we don't take into account that people have physical problems where they can't just go for a walk easily. So it's nice that there is a place that they can sit down if the legs start to give out.
And it's such a great example of a true age-friendly initiative because this will be of benefit to people of all ages, including, you know, a dad with a child in a stroller, to your point about needing, you know, people need different things to be able to get around. So it's wonderful to have this kind of multi-generational approach here.
And sometimes it's nice just to sit and enjoy, you know, just sit and enjoy the outdoors.
Absolutely.
Where else are we becoming more livable for older adults?
So Danforth Livable Communities, the city's livable communities center, will be brought up to ADA standards with a new front walkway and entryway and a renovation of its stairwell. So what a great idea to help residents. And again, it's just a terrific community project that will have long-lasting benefits.
And Danforth is in Washington County, I believe.
I believe that is correct. And then we also have the town of Surrey. Signage is going to be added along Route 172 to slow speeding traffic by drivers who are often unaware of the small town's presence as they shuttle between Ellsworth and Blue Hill. And this is an initiative that we've seen in some other communities too, where they really are working to just slow down the traffic a bit for the safety of everyone. Pedestrians as well as the drivers. So it's a terrific idea, and we really applaud the efforts of these communities along with the 8 other grantees who are part of this project.
How did these towns get involved in this? How does if a town's listening to this and they want to be part of the grant process, how does that work?
So Maine itself has over 80 now age-friendly communities that are part of the overall AARP network of state and community age-friendly network. It's a very broad network at this point, But Maine has been a leader from the get-go with the number of towns and neighborhoods, and some of our larger cities are part of the network as well. And once you're part of the network, then there's this opportunity each year to apply for this special grant. We call it a community challenge grant to propose these quick action projects, which may need a little bit of a financial boost to get off the ground. And AARP then considers all the applications that come in. And there's a committee right here in the state, along with our national office partners, that looks through each and every one of them. And here we are with our 11 awardees for this particular year.
What are some of the other communities that have received awards?
Certainly. So we have the United Way of the Tri-Valley area. They have a program providing free rides to people age 50 and older. It's a very rural community, so it will be maintained and expanded, partly with the addition of 7 volunteer drivers. In Portland, we have Age Friendly Portland, which is encouraging local businesses to accommodate older adults by applying for age friendly business designations. So they're going to have window decals and a certificate, and they're going to put in free ramps and entry buzzers and things that just make it easier for individuals to participate in that business. And then I would also mention George's Riverland Trust. A portion of an existing riverfront trail will receive new seating, trailhead kiosks with information about the area, and new accessible parking spots.
That, you know, that's so exciting, because Maine being the oldest state in the nation, it's wonderful to have these communities really step up and get a little help to do that. When we come back, we are going to talk about the Andrus Award. So stay with us and get your pencils handy. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. In this segment, we are going to be talking about older adults who are truly making a difference. AARP does a great job at recognizing them. The Andrus Award for Community Service nominees are extraordinary people. So if you, as I said at the top of the show, if you have your pencil and a piece of paper, think about jotting down someone that you may know who is extraordinary and doing great things in the community. The deadline on this is tight. It's August 1st is the deadline. So you'll need to get that, write that up and get it in. Jane, talk to me about the Andrus Award, what it means and what the requirements are, and how, three-part question, and how someone would make a nomination.
Oh, I'm delighted to. So Dr. Ethel Percy Andrus founded AARP in 1958. She was 73 years old at that time. She never placed an age limit on her own goals and dreams, and she firmly believed that older Americans were a vital part of the community throughout their lives, but they not only had needs, but they had rights. And I encourage anyone listening to look up the history of this remarkable woman. It's really extraordinary all she accomplished. And one of the things that I learned about her was that, as you know, in July, we celebrate the signing of the Older Americans Act. And not only was Dr. Andrus present at the bill signing, but President Johnson actually presented her with one of the signing pens. So important was her work in this field. So in her honor, every single year, we present an award to a volunteer for community service. And the award is named after her, so it's called the Andrus Award. And the nominations are open through August 1st. And we do hope everyone will submit a nomination for a volunteer who you know in your community who is just doing a lot of great work for the benefit of others. There are just a few things to remember: that nominees must be 50 or older, but they do not need to be a member of AARP. They just need to be 50 or older. They couples or partners who perform the service together are eligible, but not teams, you know, not a full team, but if there's a couple that's completely fine. And the recipient must live in the state of Maine. So there are a couple of other things too. But what I would say is please go to our website. We've got a big feature right at the top of our page. Go to aarp.org/ME and you can read more about the award and you can also click through to the nomination form.
How long is the form given that the deadline is so close and is it kind of an essay? Some people are intimidated by having to write a lengthy essay. What's the nomination form like?
It's really not too bad. You can write as little or as much as you would like to about the person. It asks a couple of questions about, you know, what you know about the work. Why is it you're nominating them, basically? And it's wonderful if you can give some examples of the work, some specific examples. But, you know, don't be intimidated by it. Of course, we want to hear as much as we can about this individual and their extraordinary work in the community, but don't be intimidated by the form. If we have questions, we can follow up with you, because one of the things is that we do ask for the nominator to also give their contact information in case we do have additional questions.
And what's the award ceremony like? When someone actually wins the award, do they have to travel to National AARP to get it? Do they just come to you? Do you come to them?
Well, the way we do it here in Maine is, first of all, you will receive an actual award. It's a beautiful crystal award that will have pretty. Your name on it, and it has the name of the award and the date. It's lovely. So you'll get an actual award. And then we host an annual meeting in the month of October. And so the person receiving the award and their family members or their friends are invited to join us for that if they would like to. If they are unable to or they just don't want to, then we'll work with them to make sure that they're celebrated. And we always send out a press release to announce they're winning this award statewide as well.
What are some of the volunteer work that some of the past recipients have done? We're almost out of time, but I want to get an idea of who's won this award.
Well, last year we did have a couple who won the award, Joyce and Carl Bucentini, who are both retired educators, as was our founder, Dr. Andrus. And they do so many different things in their communities, helping in the educational front, as well as this, Carl has done a lot of work. He's actually now our volunteer state president with AARP Maine, but he's done a lot of work in the community and setting up ways for people to come together for different events. He's done, there are lots of different things, and actually all of that is on our website too.
So speaking of the website, let's give the Fraud Watch one again and tell people where they can go to submit a nomination or to get information about the improvement grants real quick.
Okay. So our website for any and all of these topics that we've been talking about today is aarp.org/ME. And there you'll find the nomination form for the Andrus Award. You'll also find more information about scams and fraud awareness, but for that you can also go to aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. You can also call the helpline for Fraud Watch, which is 1-877-908-3360. And then finally, we have a feature up there too about the age-friendly award grantees. And please visit and let us know if you have any questions.
Jane Margeson, thank you so much. You are a wealth of knowledge. I really appreciate you being here. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thank you so much for listening.